Sorry? Right, I'm Chris, and I'm going to talk to you about music, media, and DOM, really just a kind of history of music recording, sound recording in general, and how it's progressed through the ages. So, what does Wikipedia say about music? Well, it says it's an art form that involves organized sounds and sounds, which pretends pretty cold and harsh, but that's pretty much what it is. The earliest history of music predates the written word, so it's pretty damn old, about 4,000 years old. And this is the date of when they recorded the actual, not sound of music, but, you know, music being available and recorded production of it. So let's have a look at the brief history of recording. So, ooh, too far. So in the 1870s we had early media, and that's a nice little classic gramophone thing there. And then we go to tape, record, CDs, MP3s, being music in general online and things. It's a very speedy look through the ages, but then I've only got 10 minutes, so. So the first recording device couldn't actually play back what it recorded. It recorded it into a funnel on a bit of glass, and the glass was blackened from carbon, and it just scratched the little waveform on the carbon, and people are like, oh, that's nice, what? that's great. And they didn't actually realize that what they were seeing on there was actually a direct representation of the music. It was just a line. It was, you know, it was a representation of it, but it wasn't a direct representation. And the first person to actually create a device that could record something and then play it back itself was Edison, who put it on tin cylinders, which are about so big, and there's a stylus. When you speak into it, it put pits and dips and stuff like that, and that's how it worked. And that got refined, and in this age, there were thousands of people working on all sorts of things like this, and so there were no standards at all. You could barely buy one record the same as another. You know, you'd need about 5 different players to play all your collection, and only about 2 people had enough money to buy an entire, more than one of these things anyway. So Digital Bell created, instead of using tin, created ones using wax, which are cheaper, but then of course got them hot, there goes your song, and all sorts of stuff. The data redundancy wasn't great on them. And the gramophone as we know it was created by Berliner, and used horizontal motion with a stylus instead of the previous vertical method. So instead of the groove being a pit and a hill, it was left to right motion, which was better because when people pushed their thumbs into the thing, it wouldn't actually matter that much. Tape progressed on from that a bit, obviously with the invention and refinement of electricity and all that kind of stuff. We could get tape, which was, the first kind of tape was actually a bit of metal, as in a long bit of metal. They'd just shove through an electromagnet and they'd magnetize it in different bits, and then they'd be able to pass it through again, and that would work for given definitions of work. This was about in the 1940s. And yeah, they progressed it and refined it again, more refining, and yeah, they ended up with massive reel-to-reel tape recorders talking 15 inches, 10 inches, massive reels of about 3,600 foot of stuff for about an hour's worth of recording, and this thing would fly through the desk and it would be chaotic, yeah, if it went everywhere, it would just, you know. So yeah, you had a little, and the electromagnet, which was getting a signal from a microphone, and the microphone would transmit electricity to this machine, which would plant it as a magnetic signal onto the tape, which would fly through it. And then after that, it would come back through the tape on play, and exactly opposite would happen. The magnetic flux on the tape would induce electricity in a coil, and that would go off to an amplifier, and you'd be able to hear roughly what you recorded. Later, much later, this is now refined into a cassette, which you probably just about young enough to remember then. And yeah, basically for convenience, they would restore about 90 minutes per side. You could get C120s as well, which is tore two hours. And more than that, the tape was so thin it would just jam in your player and break, which was great. And for refinements of this also came in width. You could get 3-inch wide tape on proper 24-inch studio multi-tracks, which was ridiculous stuff. Anyway, and while this kind of stuff was happening, they reinvented the record, in that they stopped using wax little cylinders and they started using started using vinyl, which was was more resistant, and apparently sounded better than tape did at the same time. Obviously, they'd gone from cylinders to discs. At the start, they'd started on cylinders and stuck with cylinders because when you rotate a cylinder, there's a constant angular and linear velocity, so the sound didn't have to be changed anywhere. Of course, with a record, do you either spin it up faster in the middle and slow down at the end, or do you record the data in variable amounts? So they've refined all this. They've actually got some standards now, which is, you know, handy, so what you buy in the shops actually works and what you've got at home. People still swear by the sound. And yeah, by this time they had standards, so you had 45, this is RPM, the speed of which they turn around, so you had 45 and 33 LPs became popular. And still popular today with DJs for physically scratching, mainly because it's the only real medium that allows you to have the physical thing on what the stuff is recorded and move it yourself. Anything else is a bit kind of wishy-washy. And audiophiles swear by it because dynamic frequency ranges and all sorts of other stuff that we won't go into. And then the CD appeared. Indestructible disc. I remember things on Tomorrow's World with a tank rolling over and going, look, it still plays! All this kind of stuff. And it was like, great, it's awesome. And again, smaller, so you can actually physically carry your record collection without need of a truck or anything, round to your friend's house and say, look at this, great. And also, the main advantage of this is that nothing actually touches the disc. When you read it, there's a laser, and that modulates the receiving reflection signal when it comes off the back of the disc into digital data. Also, this is now digital. Tape went digital as well. So you didn't actually get any wear on tear. So if you don't touch the disc at all, theoretically, they last forever because nothing's actually wearing them out.
I thought laser did actually bombard the
Yeah, but it's resilient enough to not withstand that. Anyway. And first CDs, of course, were stupidly expensive, but they came down in price. More and more people got them, more and more people got the CD drives. And then pretty much when CDRs became available and it was recordable, that was it. Nothing else really mattered because cassettes sounded crap, records were too massive, and no one had the tape deck anymore. And everyone had these so-called computers and stuff. And then something strange happened. Where's it gone? With music files, the media isn't actually anything. It's information, and that doesn't matter. You could put it on a CD in a different format, you could put it on floppy disks. Pretty sure you couldn't fit an entire MP3 on a 5.25 inch floppy, but you might be able to. So now you've got these non-physical media, which is a bit bizarre. And along with physical music, the cheapness of CDs, people ran to rip their music, and both the internet. So own these files, free music, hooray! Everything's great, and so you know, you've got MP3s, small file sizes, doesn't sound great, but it's free. It's all great. People start to get really worried, and you got that. It's bad. Digital rights or restrictions, depending on who you ask, management. So it was created to stop, basically, these illegal downloads and sharing, and put restrictions on how you were going to use these files. You could rip them to your computer, but you can transfer to your mate or several other thousand people on the internet. So you got people like the Record Industry Association of Dementia claiming, I've got a timer here, it's fine. You went 7 minutes over. Claims millions of dollars is lost, through illegal downloads of music. Whether that's true or not, I mean. So it's an interesting problem. You're not actually owning anything. You don't go to HMV and buy a physical disc and say, this physical thing is mine, I have it, I bought it, it's fine, I can share it, and yada, yada, yada. You've got ones and zeros. You could write it down on a bit of paper if you really wanted to, but it's the method of writing down, it's not actually the physical medium. So how can anyone own it? What is it? Explained. So then they thought, well, let's create DRM and make it all nice and legal, make people get some money back from what we've been doing. And no one's into it. No one's like, well, sounds rubbish. Who would want, previously, everything's getting better, 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 and suddenly you drop. Your file sizes are tiny, but they sound crap. so no one thought it would be popular. iTunes opened on the 28th of April 2003, which was the first big music store, and two billion songs by January 2007. So someone was wrong when they said it wasn't popular. So basically, convenience is king. So as you progress through the ages, they're getting smaller and smaller and smaller until pretty much nothing, and then this is what happens. That's pretty much it.